I watched one of your videos before saying that I was going to win. I appreciate that, by the
Oh, sorry, Stuart.
way. That got me into trouble. If Shaky didn't like that.
And we are live. That was an awkward start. Welcome to the all new UK Late Show. Scott has just thanked Chris Emmanuel for picking him in his last fight in our prediction show. Sorry about that, Scott.
He was wrong.
I supported you, Scott. You know, unlike everyone on this call, I supported you.
Yeah. Cheers. We'll go far.
Peter did as well. I'm sorry. It was me.
Right.
Let's formally introduce you. Scott Malone's been.
Oh,
for fuck's sake.
We've got Chris Emmanuel.
Hey.
Are you back again? Are you still there?
And we've got the boss man himself, Peter Knox.
Yeah. You were buffering there, Katie.
Oh, sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yeah. You just a couple of seconds. You disappeared for.
I apologise. So I introduced you all, but most importantly, we wanted the viewers to say hi to Scott. So hi, Scott.
Hello, fans, viewers.
If you've got any questions for him, then hit us up on YouTube. And Peter's going to be in charge of reading them out. So God knows what they will sound like. But Scott, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on. I've been loving your social media posts about you've decided to quit your day job and followed your dream of fighting MMA full time, right?
Yeah, well, with my job, I was getting up super early, trying to train and trying to do my job at the same time, and then like come home and I'd be knackered and going training again. It was too much. I thought it was okay, but then when I lost from Jack, everything started to go like quite downhill. Like I was quite in a dark place, you know what I mean? I know he's wanting to speak about mental health tonight, but we'll get into that later on. But I was in quite a dark place, and I was just at work. It was on a Wednesday, and I was just like, I really don't want to do this anymore. And I just decided, I was like, look, I'm going to... I've been thought about it for a while. The only thing that was stopping me was obviously having my wife and kids.
Yeah.
I had to support them. And that was what was sort of stopping me quitting in the first place. So I decided I just on the Wednesday, I was halfway through the day, I was like, I can't do this anymore. So just like, fuck that. I'm moving. I'm doing something. I've got my gym qualification anyway, so I'm now doing like PTs and stuff out at the gym. And honestly, as soon as I quit, I was just like a big load of weight just lifted off the shoulder there. So I feel a much happier place now. I'm back to being able to train as much as possible. I can enjoy more time with my family and my kids. It's just money's not everything at the end of the day. But Cage Warriors didn't start coming up.
It's a problem a lot of fighters face who are on the regional scene trying to, you know, really break through. Is when is that time where you decide to just throw everything at it and like really go for your dream? What were you doing for a living before?
Yeah, I was scaffolding, so it wasn't an easy job.
Job as well.
Yeah, so it's like, and it's all goal, like, because I worked for my brother, right? So I was on price work as well. So the more I done, the more money I got, and the less I done, the less money I got. So it was all really pushed to get make some money. If you don't push yourself and scaffold, then you end up with like a really shit wage at the end of the week. So.
Right.
It was good in a way to sort of keep you fit, keep you strong, but the stress of it and just everything getting up in the mornings, it was just too much, man.
Yeah. And tell us about this new gym.
All right, so I've got a new gym. I've just actually went to see it today. I've been waiting. It's been on the go sort of for a while now. We've been waiting on things from the council to come back, like the change of use for the venue and stuff. So now it's all sort of finalised. We can announce that we're opening up in Perth. There's still a few things to go. The floor and that's to get done. The cage and everything's got to go in. But it's going to be a gym as well as an MMA gym. So right. The guy that I'm going into business with, he runs Fitness Training Scotland. As a business where if you want to become a PT, you would go to him for the qualification. So he's going to run that side of things. We've got other PTs and stuff coming in to do all the gym side of things. We've got some coaches coming in for like K1, BJJ, MMA. I'm probably going to do a lot of the coaching of the MMA. But because it's in Perth as well, obviously most of you are from England, but in Perth's really quite central for Scotland. So I want a gym that's going to be central for everyone. So I want everybody to come and train. I don't want like this cliquey gym where only people can go. I would like to have like, I don't know, like me and Ross Houston and stuff, we, Aiden Stephen, we come and meet up sometimes. We'll have some sparring and stuff together. So I'd like to for Perth to be that place where everybody comes and, you know what I mean, meets up in the middle. So it's even if people are fighting at other gyms, they're more than welcome to come and train at the gym. I don't want any sort of egos and any like cliques. I hate that stuff. So I just want some place where everybody can train. Whether if they want to fight out of Omega That's Fight awesome. Team, then they
what's,
can.
What's the time frame on that?
Sorry.
What's the time frame on that? When do you think it will be opening?
This year, I'd say in the next 2 months, probably. The floor is literally getting done tomorrow, so it's just getting flattened out. It was used for gamekeeping and stuff before, so there was a lot of industrial, like big fridges and stuff. So all that's been taken out. It's all getting flattened out tomorrow. I've got Matt sitting there from my old judo club, so they're just getting took down. It takes 3 or 4 weeks for the cage to be built in. And then a tarp over the mats, then we're pretty much good to go. We've got a lot of the gym equipment there as well. So it's just time and just like it's the place is great. You know, it's in a great relocation. It's easy enough to get to, and it's I honestly can't wait.
If you need any scaffolding done, I know a guy used to do that.
I'll ask my brother.
So, fight-wise for you, Scott, obviously the last time we saw you was that fight you mentioned against Jack. And it didn't go your way, but so that was the title fight. I loved what you brought up on Twitter about the potential for fighting now for his vacant belt in a four-man tournament.
I think that's the fair thing to do.
Have you heard any more about that?
No, I've literally been... left out the loop from Cage Warriors. I really don't know what's happening. I go on holiday in October, so I'm dying to fight before I go, because if I don't, then I'm going to need to wait probably another 8 weeks from when I come back. I'm going over to Florida, so I won't be I'll be enjoying American foods, put it that way. I want to get a fight in before that.
Have you got long left on your Cage Warriors contract, Scott?
I've got 2 fights left. Yeah, or I think I've got 18 months and or 2 fights, but I don't think the 18 months is up until like next August or something.
Have Cage Warriors ever done any tournaments before?
I think they've done. I don't know on the one day. They definitely have not that I know of on the one day. Dean Truman done one because Paul McBain was in that as well. Yeah, but that was done over like 2 nights.
It makes sense because the two best guys in the division now are both coming off a loss. So rather than having two guys come off a loss, have a title fight, have a four-man tourney, let the best man win. It actually makes a lot of sense.
So we're saying
Scott's in there. Mike Ekindayo's got to be in there.
Yeah.
I think so.
Josh Reed.
To me,
the
So kind of people you fancy, Katie.
The fourth one for me, I kind of see why Josh Reed would be put in there, obviously. But then the other guy for me would be Brian Bulland. But then Josh has lost to both me and Brian Bulland, so I think maybe if he fought Mikey Akindale first, and me and Bullen fought, and then I don't know, but I can't think of another guy that's signed to Cage Warriors anyway.
It kind of goes out the window when it's a tournament format, though, doesn't it? You know, it's a winner takes all situation. So regardless of whether he's lost to you in the past, you start with a clean slate essentially, and the best man wins. I think that'd be superb. I hope Ian Dean's listening to this.
Yeah, Ian Dean had a little bit of interest in it, but obviously he's not got the final say, and I can't. You know what I mean? I just want a date. All I'm asking for is a date, because just now I'm training, but I like to train towards something. I hate training towards nothing. Right now I've got a date set in my head. I'm just training towards the 28th of September, which is Liverpool. That's a perfect date for me. That's like 6 days before I go on holiday, so I'm hoping to get on that card.
What's perfect of that as well is you've essentially covering off all the areas that Cage Warriors are in at the moment. You've got the Belgian, got the Belgian contingent, obviously Scotland, Wales, and England all covered there. They've garnered so much interest. Okay, you're not covering off the Swedes where they've been as well, but they only went to Sweden the once, didn't they? So I think your selection is great. When are you going to start running your own promotion?
Running what, sorry?
When are you going to start running your own promotion? Surely, you know, with your matchmaking skills, that's got to be next on the cards for you.
That's it, yeah. I actually do, for the club that I sort of coach it a little bit, not too much, but the club that I train out of, DMMA, I usually sort out fights for the guys there, so I do like sort of matchmaking myself anyway. Like, I know a lot of the Scottish guys on the regional scene. Obviously, it's hard to know everybody's name for the amateur scenes as well, but I try my best to know who they are so I can see how well they match up with the guys from our club, you know what I mean? So I like to get something. Sorry, my dog's running a bit mental here. Just me. The dog's actually just darting back and forward. Nuts. Yeah, so
I think it gets the thumbs up from all of us, the idea for that tournament. So are you saying you'd be prepared to do two fights in one night and do the whole tournament?
I would, yeah, definitely night? Yeah, if it pays.
Well, John Cabana is the way to do that, isn't he? He's got a show coming up, he's doing the tournament. I think you have to fight three times in a night.
One round each, though, isn't it? It's one round per fight.
Yeah, but the final will be the final,
yeah.
The final, not three rounds.
I don't think so. I read it as one round each. So three rounds, with a political contract.
Yeah, the Rage in the Cage one, it was up here, not the recent one that fucked up, but the one before that. I'm pretty sure it was two round fights, and the final was a three round fight, the way they done it.
Be interested to see how you deal with Safe MMA with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's another bollock.
you don't need to tell Chris about that.
Oh, another dream killed.
Yeah, I like
Shall we move on then?
Yeah, the whole Safe MMA thing is great, but it's.
Should we move on to some of the?
Get you on. Let him go. God, I want to see what I want to hear what you say. Go drop yourself
in, Scott. I just think it's very expensive for fighters to pay themselves.
No, I agree with that. To be honest, I think it's superb what it actually does. And you look at the people that whose lives has actually saved, 100% behind it. You know, and the people involved in it as well, people like Yoni, are, you know, top class people as well, who really
have
fight safety at heart. But yeah, it's a huge expense when, you know, unless you're getting paid top whack by you know, the global shows, it's a huge layout for fighters.
Could we not do a thing in Scotland? And say, right, every fighter in Scotland, go to this one place, get all your scans and your tests due. We'll guarantee X amount of fighters will come here, give us a big discount. We'll try and get the cost.
I've had to go down to Manchester twice that I've done it.
Manchester's the cheapest place to do it, supposedly. Yeah. Even though they get some discount from Harley Street, it's still Harley Street rates. But no, like you said, you know, the concept's better. And Peter, don't you get enough free medication in Scotland as it is? You know, Jesus Christ, you're always trying to get an angle, aren't you?
Well, we could be fucked soon if Donald Trump gets his way, so.
Mate, I may be moving north of the border if Boris Johnson gets it.
But But I think once Cage Warriors next weekend, once that's out of the way, I think you'll probably see a lot of movement. They'll start matching fights for the show that Scott wants to get on. So you'll probably hear something in the next few weeks, I would reckon. They'll start planning, depending what happens in the next show.
Yeah. Well, fingers crossed.
Do you see anyone from next Cage Warriors moving straight onto the UFC after Night of Champions?
I think Ross Houston probably would get signed if he wins. Probably Dean Truman as well. I think they're worthy of it anyway. Both be fighting ex-UFC guys, so it would make sense for me.
Do you think Dalby will get re-signed if he beats Ross?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
No.
Sean Shelby actually
said that. I think the thing with Dana White's like hard to get back in there. Once you've been in there and you're out, I think it's quite like really hard to get in a second time. You've seen what happened. Well, we're going to be speaking about this tonight anyway. You've seen what happened with that Brendan. You know what I mean? It's tough. He seems to just have a thing for guys that have fought there before. Like if they're cut, then I think he's sort of made up his mind with them.
But then again, Robbie Lawler was cut. He went to Strikeforce, came back, became the welterweight champion. Last weekend, the guy who opened the show, Eric Spicy, he'd been cut and he got another opportunity.
Yeah.
Lost again. It's like Bellator fighters getting signed to UFC. It doesn't happen often, but it does happen. So.
Yeah.
I think it's got to be more to that Brendan thing, though, surely, because Brendan's been superb from the second he stepped outside the UFC. He has been absolutely flawless. And then his performance as well in the contender show was just, you know, top notch. And when you got, you know, we're going to talk about Molly later on. You got Molly taking people down and, you know, crowds cheering, taking down to end a round to win a round. And now Brendan does exactly the same. He gets absolutely slated. There's got to be something further. I don't know why. Brendan always comes across as a really good guy, to be fair. Very professional, works his ass off. And he's probably one of the best fighters that we've got, well, across the continent, but.
Yeah, I think he do really well in the UFC as well. I think he would do really well in the UFC. Mm. I think he'd be top 10.
Yeah, I think he's certainly got a shot for it. You know, he's got the work rate, he's got the technique, hasn't he?
Yeah.
He's certainly got the heart.
And he's no tied to a promotion either, so there's no negotiating. You only need to talk to Brendan to sign him up, and that's it. He's no signed to any promotion.
No, or any manager, as far as I know. I think he manages himself. He's a really shrewd lad.
That was the reason Cage Warriors didn't take him on, because he wouldn't sign a multi-fight contract when they were looking to... He wanted to fight Paddy, wouldn't it?
That was an interesting Twitter battle back and forth. I like watching that. I like both guys as well, though. I like Paddy a lot. Paddy's a top lad.
Yeah. You want to see stuff like that. You want to see beef on Twitter and stuff like that. It's like the Bungard Queeley one that's now set up for them to fight in Dublin at the next Bellator event.
Yeah, that'd be a good fight as well, actually.
That's set up perfectly for those two to fight now. If it'll happen, I don't know yet, but...
Bungard's funny on Twitter, man.
Guys, I'm going to leave and come back in because you're all breaking up on me and I'm scared of talking over you again. So I'm going to leave and come back in. Sorry.
You're back normal again there, Katie. But when you go,
that's right. When she goes, what we do is we'll talk to Scott about all the negative things she's saying about him. If you didn't
I did not.
Like a brick in it now. Like, don't back now. You're saying about all the holes he's got.
I'm not. Oh, I never did.
At least you were right. You're right.
I tell you that what that was. That was after seeing Jack against Ekindayo. Ekindayo's my boy. I love him, and he was. He looked so strong, and so, you know, to me, he looked invincible. I'd seen him fight many times live. Seen him in training. And I just couldn't, I honestly thought he had it. And to see Jack dismantle him like that, I just suddenly thought, nah, I think Jack is unstoppable at the moment. You know, and every fighter's got form. And Jack, that was why I picked him, Chris. Thank you.
Scott, could I ask you a question about that fight, actually?
Yeah.
Because I've watched all of your pro fights leading up to it. You know, I didn't go into... just picking you just to you know, wind up Richard or anything. I picked you simply because I watched all of your fights and I saw ways that you could win. You know, because you're dynamic. You've got a really broad skill set. Did you find that Jack was just crazily strong and just crazily big? Because
I didn't think he was strong. He wasn't that strong. He was technically very good. I felt I won the first round. Second round was close, but he caught me with a kick in the end of the second round. I don't know if you've seen it, but I honestly felt like lying on the canvas and crying.
Was that a body kick?
Yeah. Caught me like a very, very good body kick as I was throwing a hook as well. So I was like stretched out. He caught me with that kick and it sort of took everything out of me. It was just a stupid mistake I made and he capitalised on that and it wasn't that he was frequently strong or nothing. His takedown defence really surprised me.
It's stunning, wasn't it? Absolutely stunning.
It was really good. I didn't expect that. I thought I was going to go in and I thought I was going to take him down. But one of the ones where I shot in on the second round, I was so deep in and I had my hands like basically clasped together and he managed to sprawl and turn and then hit on the break as well, which was great. You can't take that away from someone, you know what I mean?
No.
He's a great guy as well as a great fighter, so I'm happy for him, you know what I mean?
Where do you see him going?
Go I think he'll do really well. Like, I've obviously been over Team Alpha Male, sparred with a few guys over there. And, like, Jack's, I think he's definitely going to go far.
It's crazy, he's only 24 as well, isn't it?
Yeah, he's a very young guy, so... Yeah, we'll see. I hope he does well. It looks better for me.
But has Jack not been training in the gym since he was five? Basically, he's growing up in the gym, hasn't he? He's just done that full time for a very, very long time. So I expect his technical ability to be very good. But talking about his strength, he actually said in his post-fight interview that you were stronger as well. He said that he was expecting that you to be stronger, and he tried to lay it out to the later rounds, hoping you would weaken off a bit. But when it was announced that he was joining the UFC. What was your first thought? Thank fuck for that. Now I can be champion.
Well, you know what? See, I think that's what sort of made me a wee bit depressed when earlier on when I was talking about. I had in my head so much that I was gonna beat Jack and I was gonna get signed from the UFC, and that was my plan. Like I didn't think anything else. That was gonna be what was gonna happen, and it was like reality hit me once I got beat. You know what I mean? So to see him get signed, it was great. I think it says something for me as well, and obviously Mike, because he's beating these good guys like ourselves, you know what I mean? So that's pushing him onto the UFC. I think he'll do really well.
It's actually a fight I can see happening in a few years' time in the UFC, a rematch. I can see that happening a few years down the line, especially now that you went full time. That'd make a big difference.
As soon as I came out of the fight, maybe like the next day, I was like, I feel like I could beat him in a rematch already. So, you never know.
What would you do? Would you do anything differently? Would you?
I don't know. I think I'd work a wee bit more on my cardio. I don't know if it was cardio, weight cut, I don't know, but I felt, especially the third round, I think it was that body kick, to be honest, but I felt like it sort of had nothing in me. And just done a stupid thing. I tried to kick him and he just caught my kick. And I'd been working on back defence loads over in Team Alpha Male and stuff with Uriah, basically getting privates from Uriah, going over back to defence. And I just, on the night, I just like panicked, I don't know. It's just one of the things when you're in there, it's just you make stupid mistakes and it's just obviously experience, you know what I mean? So I would go in, if I was going there a second time, I'd be a little bit more calm if he was on my back.
Well, you win or you learn. That's what they say, isn't it?
Yeah.
You sorted out, Katie?
I hope I am. I'm scared. Every time I speak, I'm talking over someone, so I apologise. You're all silent, and then I say something, and then everybody's talking. I feel terrible.
Well, at least you haven't called anybody Lewis yet.
That's a big relief. A big relief, but there's still time. So, guys, we've got loads of stuff to talk about. Do you want to go over some of the stuff that happened at the weekend?
Yeah, crack on.
For me, my best moment of the weekend was Molly winning in Greenville.
So wasn't the selfie you sent everybody in the shitter?
What's that?
It wasn't the selfie you sent everybody in the Portaloo.
Was that your favourite moment of the weekend?
Yeah.
I was pissed. I was at a rave. I was having a good time.
I tried to help you. I tried to show you the Molly fight. I tried to scream it for you in the chat.
I know. I was kind of watching. I wasn't the full ticket at the time, but my husband managed to get it up on the app, so... Yeah, what did you guys think of how she looks anyway?
I thought she looked pretty good. I never seen the whole fight. I was just actually watching it before these guys came on. But
yeah,
she was looking good. I seen the highlights and stuff. She looks really good. The girl she's fighting is a really good striker as well.
Yeah. I think it's a shame that the girl she was fighting is... like people are talking a lot about her not delivering on her potential in the UFC, so I think maybe I'm not sure how much or if Molly's getting enough credit for that, but she's definitely got some big fans online. I know Max Holloway tweeted saying that she was a beast and like massive respect to her, and Amanda Nunes has tweeted her as well. So looks like some of the fighters are fans, and I definitely think when she got that takedown and like did a like motion to the crowd, like that's the sort of thing that makes people remember you, right?
She's a character.
I think that probably does a disservice to because it's JoJo, wasn't it? The other person who beat Nevsky. So I think that does a disservice to those two, because if you go back, because I've watched Molly ever since she was an amateur, and you go back to her earlier fights and Molly was somebody who would rely on strength. You know, she'd go in and she would brawl and she'd get her head down and she'd throw her overhand rights and she'd just beat the living shit out of her if she came up against. But you look at the... Because I've literally just watched that fight in preparation for this. And you look at the way that she actually controlled her emotions, she controlled her range. She just looked like a completely different fighter. Actually going, you know, talking... Scott saying about you going full-time. You know, her going full-time and her actually... putting this energy and focus into making sure that this UFC dream isn't like a one and done situation. She has completely transformed the fighter that she is, and she's an intelligent fighter now. And her feet are superb now. Beforehand, she'd just plant her feet and just swing for the houses, but now she's moving like a proper, you know, proper striker. She had a 5-inch reach disadvantage against somebody who is a really talented striker, and it took her probably the first minute and a half to actually find her range, but as soon as she did, she was just ducking inside, landing a couple of quick shots, back out again. That's literally bam bam back out again. Boom boom back out again. But she was absolutely class. And then the takedowns as well, she could have taken her down at any point in that fight, taken her down, ground her out and easily won the fight, but instead she gave the crowd a really entertaining fight. And like you said, she made herself stand out as she came out. She shouted into the camera. She's singing away to I can't remember.
It's gone.
She shouted into the camera. She shouted into the camera. The
English internet is fucking shite.
keeps dropping out, doesn't it? She's really making a name for herself in the US, and I think she's just played absolutely everything perfectly from the fight to the way that she's composed herself. And I thought it's brilliant. Good on Molly McCann. She's standing out.
From her last Cage Warriors fight, she really didn't think that she was getting the call up to UFC Liverpool. They left it a really, really long time, and in the end, she went on holiday, and she was in like probably the worst shape she's, you know, been in for a while, because she was probably feeling pretty down. They're going to Liverpool and they're still not going to give me the call up. And so she had a huge cut to make the night before her debut. Obviously that fight didn't go her way. And she just changed everything about her, you know, her lifestyle, her eating, her everything, not her gym, but like her like attitude to her training, just everything. She knew, like you said, Chris, she didn't want to be one and done, and she put everything into making sure that the next fight went totally differently. And I just really think she's deserved it, because she has improved so much from from Cage Warriors, from that debut fight. She just looks like a different fighter with just so many more skills in her arsenal.
I've seen her do a lot of grappling tournaments and stuff after the first loss.
She got her purple belt just before her second fight, I think, as well. But I think Ariane Lipski has got a higher jiu-jitsu pedigree. I'm not sure what belt she is or how long she's been doing it, but Molly said, out of respect for her ground game and the fact that she was winning on the feet anyway, that's why she kept calling her back up when she knocked her down.
Yeah, why take the risk anyway? If you're comfortable on the feet, then keep it to the feet. Because she wasn't tired on the hand, she didn't need a rest on there. So yeah, keep it to the feet and bang away. She made Lipski look normal, look like Lipski was out of debt. I need to feel sorry for her because she said, JoJo, now Molly. Her confidence must be a nightmare. She must have no confidence now. So hopefully she can build that back up because she is an entertaining fighter, or she was before the UFC. So hopefully she can build that back up.
Yeah. What will help her is the fact that it's a relatively shallow pool at the women's 125 in the UFC. It's not a huge talent pool division-wise. You look at, you know, who's going to fight Valentina next? There's an absolutely gaping chasm between her and Jessica Rye, was like the number one ranked fighter. And then you've got people like the one whose name I can never pronounce, Chukwugeyan. I'm sorry, but she gets murdered by Valentina. That's not even close. That's literally like prison rape. That's going to be horrific to watch.
But as I was saying after the weekend there, I can see JoJo versus Molly now. I think that would be a cracking fight. I can see them main card, UK soil.
That would be a close fight as well.
Yeah. No, I think it would be a cracking fight. Yeah. I hope the UFC go for it.
Okay, UFC Glasgow.
Yeah. Maybe Scotland next summer,
Peter. Well, it doesn't look like it's going to be this year anyway. It's all, as I say, they come here every 2 years, but there's no sign. I don't think they'll come this year, by the looks of it.
So, I think they're waiting for me to get a few wins behind my back.
No. That's it. Build up that Perth gym. That's what it is. They're looking somewhere central.
That's it. And Ross Houston to go there as well. Maybe it makes more sense next summer.
Why not?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. They could sign Ross up. He'd get a fight in before the end of the year. And then you've got Stevie Ray will be looking to bounce back. You've got Danny Hendry to come back. You've still got JoJo looking to bounce back. But is there going to be another English one this year?
I think it'll be next March again.
So it's good. They're not going to be in the UK again this year then?
Wouldn't have thought so.
I think they're doing Copenhagen instead of UK. That's normally about the time of the other one, isn't it?
So if they're doing Copenhagen, when's the date for Copenhagen?
I think that's
28th of September.
Right. So that might be a win for Dalby if he was able to beat Boston. That would be because it's in his home country.
Yeah.
I don't think it makes any difference for the UFC who's on the card because it's the brand itself that sells. It's not the fighters who are on it. You could put two Brazilians on the card in Copenhagen and it still sell out within 24 hours.
Yeah.
In the European cards, when you look at the prelims, it's usually quite a busy atmosphere, especially Scotland. Scotland sold out for the very first fight. But you see that in most European events compared to America. But Bellator at the weekend there, I was talking to Lewis and he said the place was dead right up to the daily fight and then it filled out about half full after that and the atmosphere got a bit better. But it makes me a bit sad that Bellator can only sell 5,000 tickets for London.
Lewis
said it was on par with a Cage Warriors event, but it worries me if they can't sell out venues like that and they might pull the plug.
They've put their backing behind David Green, behind Jude Samuel, you know, and they pulled over to from the UK scene to run it. David's background in TV, Jude is just a quality matchmaker, you know, regardless of You know, any nonsense that you see from people who are posting some bad stuff online over the weekend, you know, there's no question about it. That guy can craft an amazing card. And if you look at the fights that we had on the weekend, you know, some of them are some of the best fights I've seen in ages. And that Daly's fight was absolutely off the... It was off the wall.
So why are they not selling tickets then, Chris? What do you think the issue is?
Well, they make it so hard to be a fan, don't you think? Like,
I don't know.
It's an absolute shit show having to watch it on the app. TV-wise,
yeah.
On Channel 5, on Sky Sports. Some of the best fights weren't on there. It was a joke.
Hmm. Yeah, TV wise, it didn't work. It didn't work the way it should have done, and I don't know whether there is issues with, like I said, they're trying to. It looked to us like they're trying to juggle the deal that they've got with Sky, which is something that no MMA promotion's been able to do since the Cage Rage days. You know, Cage Rage, Bellator Europe have managed to do that. They've still got their channel. I think they've got a limited time slot with Sky. They've still got their Channel 5 commitments because of their Viacom ownership. They still had to deal with the Paramount Network in the US to try and make sure that they catered to the US audience as well. So it seemed like it was just a perfect storm of a mess, really. They couldn't quite get their timings right to actually get the people on. And yeah, it didn't work. Didn't work at all. But, you know, previous shows that they've done, I was at the London one a couple of years back, absolutely sold out. I was at the... It's a busy, busy event. I don't think it's quite sold out. Perhaps over the course of the night, every single seat was taken, but not simultaneously. But what doesn't help is British fight fans are an absolute pain in the ass. They come along, they watch their mate fight, and then they bugger off again. You think, you know, there's absolutely no logic to that whatsoever. You're going to Bellator, you're spending, what, 50 quid for a ticket? And at the top of the card, you've got people who are flying in from all over the world, global level stars. And because your mate has fought on the undercard who you've been to school with, it's already fought 2 hours beforehand, then you're pissing off and you're going down the pub with him. And why would you do that? In any other sport, you wouldn't do that. You know, your mate gets taken off after 50 minutes in a football match. You don't piss off and wait outside for him. You still wait to the end, to the 90th minute. And UK fans need to be a little bit more savvy and actually appreciate the skills, certainly the talent that's being put before them. Because some of these fighters that are being put on these cards, you know, the Cage Warriors cards, the Bellator cards, and previously the Bama cards, you're not going to see these types of people ever fight again. You know, you should actually really appreciate the entire card top to bottom. You know, my first major card was a Cage Rage card back in like 2007. I had Vitor Belfort on the card. It's actually, Paul Daly was actually on that card. He's fighting against the Wizard Mark Weir, if anyone remembers him. He fought in the UFC a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, but this is early in Daly's career. And, you know, to actually see the progression of Daly from then to when I saw him live last, when he fought in Wembley, it's amazing. But these people, they don't appreciate that. They don't see that. And maybe fight fans need to be a bit more savvy and actually stay and appreciate the whole event and appreciate every fighter who's put his ass on the line for them.
Scott, when you're not headlining, do your mates all leave as soon as you fall?
No. See, to be honest, because it's so far away when I'm fighting in Cage Warriors, the only other thing I've ever done has been headlines. Like right. All the shit up in Scotland, there's only usually like one or two pro fights on for a card that's full of amateurs. So I don't know. I don't know if they would leave or not. So, but
Cage Warriors 100.
I think they stayed. I think they stayed for that. I stayed as well because I was want to watch Jack v Mike.
Yeah.
So I knew, well, I thought that I was going to be obviously fighting with at least one of them.
Yeah.
So yeah, there wasn't that many people. Well, I don't even think there was any down there. There was like maybe three people down to watch that fight. A lot of guys came down for the Jack fight. Yeah. I think that's the most fans I've ever took to any fight. To be honest, I think it was like 60 people there or something. And it's quite a hard place to get to from Scotland, especially Dundee.
Why?
So yeah, you need to go through Edinburgh or Glasgow to get a flight from there, to get down to Cardiff. It costs a lot of money just for one weekend to see your mate fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, I appreciate everybody that came down.
Some loyal UK fans. So what
Scott,
about some of the other
Hey, Scott, how do you think a Cage Warrior Scotland show would get on? Because for whatever reason, they don't want to come up here. I'm hoping that they'll change their minds and come up next year. I reckon if they got the right venue, they would sell out easily compared to, because they're struggling to sell down there. I think they would sell out Scotland easily.
I think they would sell up here. I think Cage Warriors is probably, in Scotland anyway, I think it's probably more popular than Bellator for your average guys. Just because you've seen guys like me and Ross and that, and Aidan and Paul, that we're from like different ends of Scotland, you know, that's fighting on that, on the show. So I think it would sell out no bother. People have heard of it because you see it on Facebook. You know what I mean? Like, you're not seeing Bellator unless you're really going out to watch Bellator. Like, you're just your average Joe Bloggs that doesn't really watch MMA. A lot of the guys have started watching Cage Warriors now because I was fighting on it. You know what I mean? So now we've got an interest in Cage Warriors, and the guys are like that. I've banging the guys in like Asda and stuff, and they're like, "Yeah, what about like this guy? This guy?" I'm like, "I don't even know who these guys are, but they know them from watching Cage Warrior." So yeah, I definitely think it would sell out up here. I think the right venue. But I've spoke to Ian Dean about it, and he says pretty much because what ACB done, it's kind of put them off. I think ACB, they never really advertised it. Nobody really knew what ACB was. They picked a really big venue for a show that didn't even nearly fill, you know what I mean? So I think they just see that happening again.
Yeah, ACB, I think it was 800 tickets. Well, 800 tickets, I'm not going to say sold, because I gave away about 600 tickets on the day. So that, yeah, they made a... We tried to help them, but they wouldn't listen. They even wanted me to put posters up in them. And I goes, right, you sort out the posters and I'll get a team. We'll put them all over Glasgow and whatever. They couldn't even do that.
Yeah.
They couldn't do nothing. The advertising was absolutely rubbish. They promised things as well. I don't want to mention, there was a national newspaper involved as well, and they'd done a giveaway for one of the fighters. It was Robert Whiteford, and they didn't give the national newspaper the prize. So it was it wasn't ACB, it was a guy that was helped doing it for ACB. He didn't have a fucking clue.
Kind of fucked it for everybody else.
Was Paul Lynn.
Because Bam, I know Bama keeping an eye on that as well, and thought if ACB do well here, then we'll come up as well. So
I don't think that's the proper yardstick to judge it by. Every ACB event I went to was half empty or worse. So the one in Nottingham, that's like the least attended event I've ever been to, and it was a big arena, and it was, I don't even reckon there were 50 people in the whole thing. It was
nobody knows all these Russian fighters, you know what I mean? There's a lot of Russian fighters that nobody knows, because we don't see a lot of ACB over here.
Well, the
it was
one
a
in
great
the
card as well. Like, there was
we had to do media interviews in a broom cupboard because the Russian guys took over the media room and they wouldn't move. And Brian Lacey was too scared to ask them. So we had to do it in a wee broom cupboard. 20 media guys trying to interview Robert Whiteford, man. It was a fucking nightmare. And wee Brian Lacey, no, they're Russian. I'm not saying nothing.
Yeah. They take him shooting with machine guns. No wonder he's scared of them. So going back to Bellator, apart from what a shit show the actual screening of it was, do you want to touch on any of the events that they didn't even, or any of the fights that they didn't even bother showing, Chris?
So there were three fights. Well, actually, do you know what? There are four fights that didn't get broadcast. That says Charlie Ward versus God, what's his name? Justin Moore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why they did the fight. I think that's probably the worst fight on the card, if I'm honest. Charlie Ward hits really hard. Justin Moore's very strong. It wasn't. Then you had Shipman versus Costello Van Steenis. That's just why on earth that wasn't on. You know, that's essentially a middleweight contender fight, that is, you know, title eliminator fight. Shipman is 13-1 when he went into it. He lost his pro debut, won 13 on the bounce, including winning the Bama middleweight world title. And, you know, he's got a herky-jerky style, which is a bit like Elias Theodorou's. So he's not the most aesthetically pleasing fighter to watch, but he's so effective and he's so good everywhere. And then he got Costello Van Steenis. He's brutal. You know, the guy only smiled after he'd really... any type of emotion from him. But yeah, it's a superb fight. On paper, it lived up to everything it was on paper. And it finished with Van Steenis catching... Shipman had him pressed up against the fence, and Van Steenis caught him with this short chopping right elbow to the chin. And Shipman takes punishment normally. You know, bearing in mind that he's that huge guy who was a Bama middleweight and EFC middleweight world champion at the same time. Trains with Tom Breeze.
My idea.
Oh, shit, my mind's gone blank. Literally on the tip of my tongue. Anyway,
so's your internet.
Yours, I swear it's yours.
So, am I?
But, yeah, English internet's down today. So he takes punishment, Shipman. But this short chopping elbow just stunned him, dropped him, and then Van Steenis was just on him, just finished him quick. You know, realistically, unless they were a rematch with Devin, then I think Van Steenis has got to be next for it. And then obviously, you know, Mr. Tasty Shots himself, Fabian Edwards, up against the young French lad.
Why wasn't this one shown?
I don't know. And it's crazy. Because he put on his technical masterclass. Okay, he didn't
fucking
knock him
mental.
Out. Yeah, he didn't knock him out, but I don't think he took a single shot in the whole fight. He literally just dominated this kid in the whole fight. He stood back and just picked his shots. Now, roundhouses to the chin, and how he stayed standing up, got absolutely no idea how he stayed up. And Fabian almost finished with a couple of knees as well. But Fab just literally, he didn't really get out of second gear. It's like a Rolls Royce. It was just superb again.
I think you started the fight with flying knee, but nobody fucking seen it because we've only seen the last couple of minutes on Sky. Yeah. Get overdone.
I watched it on the app. So I've got all the fights on the app now. So I watched it on the app last night. But
it's just one page that's not on there.
No, not all of them.
But they should be advertising that as well. All the fights are on the app now, but I've not seen a post saying, right, here you go.
No, it was you. What is it?
You could watch the prelims because they didn't put a button on it to press play.
Oh, that's awful, wasn't it? That's awful.
you make it so hard to be a fan, Bellator.
But then they did the swing bout as well.
It's because they don't have a decent tech guy.
The swing bout at the end. Then Walter Gahadze fight against, I can't remember the Swedish lad's name. I think he'd gone to the UFC, fought once, and then that was it. But and that must be so difficult for the pair of them to prepare themselves mentally for that, because there's nowhere on earth they'd have been told that earlier on in the day. It would have been later on, down to TV scheduling. They would have been told, yeah, oh, by the way, you're going to be fighting at 11 o'clock in an empty arena.
Scott, how would you find that if you thought you were supposed to be on at like 8 o'clock at night and then they fuck up their timings and actually you're not going to be on till after the main event now and you've messed up your warm up, your food for the day, like?
I think later would be as bad as earlier.
Right.
But yeah, you'd probably start getting warmed up. Well, I would anyway, certainly about at least 7 o'clock, start getting warmed up, start getting your hands wrapped and stuff. He's probably sitting there with his hand wraps on.
Yeah.
I don't know. It would be a mind fuck.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
I did it at Cage Warriors 100. I warmed up because I warmed up towards the last fight before me. Right, but because it was going on live on TV, I didn't start for like another hour. So I'd warmed up thinking that I was ready to go on.
Oh, no.
And then they're like, all right, that's the break now. So I was like warm, and then I had to cool down. I had to wait for like another hour. So, but I got rid of some like jitters. Yeah.
I hope they didn't have a fucking raffle on the break.
So let's talk about Chris Bungard's fight, because we've got you two Scots on, so we've got inside opinion on how that fight went. What did you make of it?
I actually lost my connection because Christina came back with the grandson, and I had to go outside with my phone, so I missed most of the first round.
I watched the fight today. Right. I caught the last. He put on a Twitter or Facebook or something that his fight was going to be at 7:30. So I put it on at like 7:20.
Yeah.
And it was like the last 10 seconds of the fight. I was like, fuck.
Yeah.
So I rewatched the fight anyway. I know he had a bad cut. He struggled to make the weight, I think.
Yeah.
He looked a bit tired. Like I've sparred with Chris. He likes to pour the pressure on you, and if he sees you're tired, then he'll keep on like pouring the pressure on. He didn't seem to get into that. I don't know if it was the weight cut or what. I don't know, but he didn't look himself for me anyway.
Do we know how much he had to cut, or was it just it was a struggle getting it off?
I don't have exact numbers. Like I think it was like 5 kilos out or something the day before. Right. I don't know.
Yeah. I think Brian did, his coach did post something, but I think he's since then deleted it, and it was something about, he said something about mistakes being made in the weight cut, but I don't know what he was meaning. But he said Chris still made weight like a professional, which he did.
Yeah.
But it's obviously taking more out of him, because that wasn't the Chris Bungard that we know. And don't want to take nothing away from his opponent, very experienced guy, did a great record, but he was a game fight. He'd done exactly what he should have done. And congratulations to him. So,
does he have any help with his nutrition? Does he use anyone, or does he do it himself?
I think he's got someone that he gives like meals from.
Right.
I'm not 100% sure, but I know he's like me, that likes a cake every once in a while. So. I don't know. But to me, he just didn't look himself. And like I said, Charlie Leary, he put a good fight up, and he'd done exactly what needed to be done. Bungard seems to be on the back foot a bit, and he doesn't fight like that usually. Usually he likes to come forward quite a lot. So. I don't know. He looked kind of tired to me.
Yeah,
he doesn't normally look like that.
Yeah. I think he had such a stunning performance in his first fight that... you know, he's lucky this wasn't his Bellator debut, I guess.
Yeah.
They already know how he can perform in there.
But then again, it sets it up now for Queeley. If Queeley, I know Queeley's injured. I don't know how long his rehab and all that's for, if he's going to be ready in time. But even if he is, I don't know. Obviously, there was rumours that Chris turned down that fight originally, and that's why Queeley kicked off. Chris said because they were teammates and all that, because he sometimes goes to train at SBG. If that fight can still happen for that reasons, I don't know. But I think a lot of people would like to see that happen after what Queeley said
now
in social media. Yeah, it sets them up. They're both coming off a loss. It sets it up perfectly.
What did you make of the back and forth between them, Scott?
To be honest, I don't really read a lot into stuff like that. I'm not one. I'm just not one for like Twitter battles, man. I'd rather just go in there and fight the guy and be mates at the end of it. That's just not my thing. I've called out people. I did the odd call out now and again. I don't mind that. You've got to do that, I think, to get places. But going back forward, unless somebody was like, I don't know, unless somebody was fucking being really mean to me, then I would probably switch it on, but I don't know.
It wasn't really a back and forth. It was mainly Queeley calling out Chris and slagging off Chris.
Yeah.
I think Chris had one response and said, I'll see you in London.
Yeah.
We'll talk face to face and see what happened then. But
for me, the photo was what took it over the edge. I thought you weren't supposed to talk about what went on in sparring.
But Conor McGregor done that as well, didn't he? Conor McGregor's done that as well to Paulie when they were sparring with the Floyd Mayweather fight.
I always think that he always holds the highest standard of etiquette either, Peter.
But that sparring session was filmed by the BBC, and as far as I know, Queeley's not given permission for them to use it. But as you say, that video footage would reveal how the session really went. But I know Chris said there was lots of people watching that session. He was quite nervous, actually. It felt like a fight, yeah. He said. Because he was very respectful of Peter at the time as well. He was on the Bad Patter podcast. He said, Peter's a great guy, great fighter. It was a tough session. Because Peter had a fight coming up as well. But Peter's decided to go and have a go at Chris for whatever reason. But
anyway, I know we've only got a few minutes left. I just wanted to cover the James Gallagher fight and kind of more than the fight, talk about what he said in his post-fight interview. He obviously won on decision, but he was talking about the fact that he texted his coach like 2 weeks out of the fight and said, I don't think I can do this anymore, and was having bad anxiety. And the article I read said that he was crediting Tyson Fury and an interview that he watched of his and what he came back from that gave him the strength to do it. Mm-hmm. I was quite surprised to see him of all people, because of the front that he normally puts up and because of the persona that he gives off. What did you make of it?
That's the thing for me. See if people are putting on this front, then why put on the front?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Why act like that? It's all, to me, it's a big show. It's like, he's looking like the big man, but inside he's really scared.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he's kind of says that openly now, that he was scared of the fight. And to me, that's like, why go about like that? And why try and be someone that you're not to then go and feel? Because he's putting pressure on himself.
Yeah.
He's to me, he's making people, although he's getting people to watch him, he's making people want him to lose. You know what
exactly.
I mean?
He's a very young lad, isn't
he? Yeah.
I don't think he's really likable at all.
No, like, this was the first likable and relatable thing that he's ever said.
Yeah.
And the first thing that seems kind of real. Everything else just seems like a plastic Conor McGregor copycat, just kind of cringe kind of thing.
If you watch the way that he moves and the way that he dresses, the way that he acts, even the way that he has pictures taken, it's a cross between two people. It's Conor and it's John Kavanagh when he was fighting. Even his walkout at the weekend with the Irish flag around him, even the way that he was physically bouncing, that wasn't Conor, that was John Kavanagh walking out versus Danny Batten in 1995. Exactly the same. Honestly, you could have put the two videos up side by side and the movements would have been identical.
Mm-hmm.
Persona yet, so he's jumping on other people's just to try and build this star on his own, and like I said, it makes him so unlikable. Yet you see him actually moving around. You know, I've been in around press conferences for Bellator, even when he's not been fighting, he's been there, and you see him moving around and interacting with people. He's actually comes across as he looks quite likable. People seem to like him. He doesn't give it the big I am until the cameras come on, and then all of a sudden it becomes the Jimmy Show. And you know, the Jimmy Show might have got him a decent contract and got him to the where he is now, but as you said, it's putting pressure on him he's clearly struggling with. That did he lose his dad a year or two back? Really, because he's only still in like 22 or something. I'm sure I read that he lost his dad or something. And if he has that, I think that could be another, you know, seismic event. So, you know, I've seen that with people very close to me. It literally changes you. It absolutely rocks you to the core. And you know, coming out, dealing with that, dealing with the pressure of being a professional fighter where you've got all the eyes on you on a global promotion. You know, people say, oh, Bellator's this, Bellator's that. Bellator's a global promotion. It's second or third largest on the planet behind the UFC and perhaps level or behind one. You know, and he's built this star for himself, and the reaction that he got from the Twitter sphere or the social media sphere when he lost to Ricky in his last fight, he got absolutely crucified. Now that must take it out on you. You know, I'm geez, I might have to be his dad. I'm 41 years old. Now, if I got some of the shit that he got from that, it would hurt. You know, at 22 years old, there's no way on earth I could have mentally dealt with that. So, yeah, you know, I think he certainly needs a bit of help. From what he said, it sounded a bit like a cry for help as well. And I hope he gets it. And then I hope, because he's a talented kid. He gets punched a bit too much still. You know, I don't think that he's ready for a title shot or anything yet. But when he gets his hands on people, he's dangerous. He's properly dangerous. He really dealt with a talented grappler at the weekend in a very professional way.
He reminds me of like a Disney kid growing up in the limelight and just like not really sure how to handle it when he's coming into his like formative years.
Mm.
So, yeah, I hope he gets help as well, because I think anyone in his position would need it. It's not a sign of weakness at all. He's got a lot to deal with, and the kind of way that he's built himself up has got him to where he is, even more so than his talent, but it's also heaped on, like you say, a ton of pressure that just wouldn't normally be on someone of his age and his calibre, really.
Mm-hmm.
It's the gym he fights out of, and then kind of the way he's acted that's elevated his status.
Yeah, definitely.
I actually thought he changed before this fight, because we interviewed him at the open workouts, Vanessa. And he said, it's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice. And I thought, that's a good attitude to have. He seemed very calm. I thought, he's maybe learned a few things and he's grown up. And then the next day at the weigh-ins, he's fighting in the crowd. And I thought, so
he's done that before as well. He did that before and at one of the Bamator events, didn't he? Where he went into the gym, this contrived nonsense, where he grabbed hold of someone and started trying to fight him.
Yeah,
it was WWE.
Yeah. So as I say, it could be something mentally as well that it's affecting him as well. So he maybe needs, but he said he's fighting, he could maybe now sit back and relax and then go and seek any help that he needs. It'd be nice, I'd love to see Bellator now post something on their social media channel, push mental illness and all that, get more fighters to talk about it, inspire other people to come out and talk about it.
Yeah. It'd be great if Bellator actually worked with him to actually do that as well. You know, given their gym, you know, we've had people compete on Bellator and they do look after you. The second that you either land or you arrive at the venue, when we've had someone in America, the second that you land, they literally look after you from the second you arrive to the second they put you back on the plane. So it'd be good if they extended that to out of competition as well. And when they've got someone who they've clearly invested in, to actually give them some support with his mental health issues that he's clearly stated now, I think we'd really stand them in good stead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool.
Right. I think I think guys find it really hard, especially MMA fighters.
Shut up, Katie. Scott's talking.
Hey. Yeah, I think guys, especially MMA fighters, find it hard to talk to people about mental health. Like, because there's no one really to talk to, you know what I mean? Who do you talk to? Who do you go and see? You go and speak to your mates, even your mates. They'll say, all right, yeah, like, I'm not very good with stuff like this, but you'll be all right, you know what I mean? Even if someone's come to me, I don't know how I would react as well. Like, it's hard to deal with someone that's going through something, because sometimes you can't really do nothing for them, but you can talk to them and take in what they've got to say, you know what I mean? Sometimes you just need to listen and let them get it out. But
it's a serious stigma as well, isn't it? You know, because I look at my day job. So I work in financial services, and we've got an HR department, and they're massively, massively keen on promoting mental health and ensuring that, you know, we take time off during the day and we do something, get up and go for a walk for 10 minutes, just clear your head, do something which is going to keep you good. And then if you have any issues, they've got a whole raft of support systems to help. But you look at it and you think, if I was to turn around and say I had some mental health problem, you're worried you're going to be stigmatised with that for the rest of your career. Yeah. You know, do you want that to be tied with that? You know, you're going to look at Frank Bruno now. Do you remember Frank Bruno for being a person who was a world champion boxer, or Frank Bruno, the guy who fell apart and was pictured in a marquee in his garden, sleeping in a marquee because he couldn't deal with it mentally. It always stays with you. And that's I think it's a societal issue rather than just a masculine one. We've got to actually accept the fact that illness is illness, regardless whether it's in your head or in your body.
Mm-hmm. 100%, man.
my employer's actually different. They talk the talk in mental illness, and they go, if you want to help people and blah, blah, blah. But when it comes to in their actual workplace, in their offices, and people do have issues and they want to go and talk to a manager, they don't care. They just want you to get out the door, get your job done. They don't care what you feel like mentally. So that's something I'm trying to change in my workplace as part of our union and all that. I might actually do something with MMA UK as well and try and start promoting mental health as well for fighters. Give them somewhere to go, even if it's a phone number, just to phone somebody up and just get the ball rolling and get the help that they need.
MMA is weird. It's the highest highs and it's the lowest lows, man. Like, you're winning, everything's going great, but when you lose, it's just like your whole world's come crashing down, you know what I mean? You've trained so much for that one time. It happens, and then you lose, and then it's just like, fuck, where do I go from here? For me, the best thing for me to get done was just to keep training. Training takes your mind off things, and it's why we do it really in the first place, you know what I mean? But yeah, if anybody's watching, if anybody's feeling depressed or whatever, then go and train at Omega Gym in Perth.
it's very central. It's Scotland's
affair. Yeah, but seriously,
how sensitive to turn it into a plug as well.
Did we get any questions?
Pete,
by the way,
you haven't asked any of the questions on the feed.
Yeah, I'm just having a look there. Peter's
shirt.
Yeah. There's a guy called Carl.
Which is
White.
Fucking vile, by the way.
It is proper vile, isn't it? Seriously.
Yeah. You're just jealous.
Do you remember the Club Tropicana video, Katie? George Michael, Club... No, it was Wham, wasn't it? Club Tropicana. That's what it looks like.
Yeah, it's cool.
You could have been an extra.
Tom Heffernan wants to know, talk me through the moment you decided that shirt was worth buying, Peter, and then go on to explain why you would wear it in public.
It's actually an old shirt. I don't know why I got it. I think it was a Facebook challenge. You remember the one we put ice over, the ice bucket challenge? I think I bought it for then, and I've had it ever since. It only comes out in special occasions. So.
Well, we're honoured. Thank you, Sid. Give it to Scott to take to Florida with him. Scott, would you be seen dead in that?
I'd rock that, man. Have you seen some of my Instagram posts? I wear funkier shirts than that.
It must be a Scottish thing.
Yeah, must be. Need to be able to pull it off, though, that's the thing.
There's actually another question, Katie, and I can't believe it, but this looks like the greatest question ever in the world.
Oh, fuck off. Not
Scott. If you could change one rule in MMA, what would you change?
To change one rule in MMA?
Yeah, one rule.
Yeah. Would that be in the cage or outside the cage or what?
Anything you want.
I don't know, I'd say weight cutting. Change your weight cutting.
What would you change it to?
I'd change it on agreements. Agreeing to fight with someone. Just at whatever weight, you know what I mean? Agree with another guy to fight at that weight that you are both comfortable at.
Yeah, so you could have catch weights and all that.
Yeah, more catch weights. Yeah, less people dying to make weight.
Yeah.
That would be me. Other than that, kicking the nuts. Why not?
They did used to let tick punches in, didn't they? Like in the early years, I've seen people do it. It looks horrible.
Oh, it looks so bad.
Just to let you know, it was Frankie Anderson that asked that question.
I never saw that bit.
Yeah. I think he asked it and then he quickly deleted it. But there was another one from Callum White. Who makes the best milkshakes in Daily Grind?
Oh, Daily Grind, bro. I've got a hard grind top on here, look.
Is that one of your actually sponsors?
Yeah, one of my sponsors. That's hard grind. That's the barber. But next door, they've got a shop called the Daily Grind. And you get, like, coffee and stuff. I actually went in the other day, and Callum, who's wrote on it, he had a boom boom top on, rocking his boom boom top when I went in. It's quality tea. So yeah, Carl makes the best shakes. I got a good shake from him the other day. There's your plug, Carl.
Scotty, have you got any other sponsors you want to shout out?
I've got a whole body full of them. I'll just go through them all.
Hellcat.
I'd like to see them all. I've got Python at the bottom here. Scott Fife Motors. Got a lot of window cleaning business here. Sunsup. All the sups. Need to turn around. We've got the extra ones at the back. I don't know if you can see these.
Yeah, we can see them.
I always end up missing one, so you all know who you are. And for anybody else that's watching, I'm now an unemployed bum, so if you want to sponsor me for a bit more, feel free.
Scott, do you want to give us your social media details so people can follow you if they're not already?
Yeah, it's Scotty_boom boom is my Instagram. What's my Twitter? My Twitter is Scott Malone. Lord Boom Boom. Yeah. But I think it's Scott Malone 265, I think. Can't even remember. It was Lord Boom Boom. I'm actually a Lord, by the way.
A real one?
Yeah, I'm a Lord.
Did you buy it? Or is it in the
I bought it. Got the card in picture. Got the card here. It was a birthday gift. It's only like a square foot of land or something, but
265.
265, can you read that?
Island title, the card certifies Lord Scott Boom Boom Malone. Then I can't read nothing after that. It says, if you want a good time, call 0789.
That's just technically my Lord.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight, Scott.
No problem. Great laugh. Thanks.
Some of the internet news.
It's Katie again.
Internet ran out there.
Are you there, Katie?
I can't actually hear anyone to sign off now, but...
We can hear you.
Just...
I'm scared to say anything.
Sign language, Katie.
I'm tapping out. Thank you everyone for joining us.
Cheers. Thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
Cheers.
Goodbye. Thanks, guys.